Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, are those Cape Cod chips you're eating?
Yeah.
You know where they make those things?
Cape Cod, I assume.
You're darn right they make them in Cape Cod, right on Breeds Hill Road in Hyannis, down the street from the mall. Do you know what else they make in Cape Cod? Belts. Belts with little whales on them.
That's cool.
No, it's not cool. The whale belts are an embarrassment. The chips are delicious. They're a local treasure. We're deeply proud of them. Now, can I have a chip, please?
Sure.
Cape Cod chips. Back home, we're a pretty big deal.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Reconnected Show with your host, Nazeem Rashid. Nazeem is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazeem has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyle to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which gives life. I am Dorothy Rashid, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazeem Rashid.
Well, all right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Wonderful, Dorothy. Thank you for that great introduction. All right. It is another day in paradise. Yes, it is another day in paradise here in the Phoenix, Arizona area in the good old USA. Mm-hmm. Yes, paradise. Just think about what paradise is for you. Sometimes just sitting and laughing with relatives is paradise. Yes, sometimes like that. Yeah, we've had relatives visit us recently, and that was paradise, laughing and joking and having a good time. Yeah. So welcome all into our Paradise One studio, where every day is a holiday and the party never stops. Yay! Okay, welcome again to the Reconnected Show, which is based on the chapters in my book, Reconnected. Okay, we always start with a nice universal opening prayer, and like I mentioned before on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I am using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. With the name of God, we thank you for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for the willingness you have instilled in us to give of ourselves to others. Thank you for the open minds we have to receive more from you in areas that we are familiar with and areas which you are unfamiliar. Thank you for the open minds that we are interacting with as we spread your message of hope, promise, and opportunity. Amen. Okay, for our show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
We all have experienced disappointments in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim's book, Reconnected, and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. The long-awaited book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is available now at www.cloudsofabundance.com, amazon.com, Healthy Habits Health Food Store in Phoenix, Arizona, and Jazzy Yogurt Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona. Also, barnesandnoble.com. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address, nrbookclub@gmail.com. That's N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, bookclub@gmail.com. Or his website, www.clouds of abundance.com. You'll find information such as life coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All life coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishment of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future that you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his book and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you.
Yes, Nazim. It is. Time for the new. Thank you again. Yes, it is time for the new you. The new and improved you. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, fantastic. And when I'm talking to people about the book, I talk about them looking into the mirror and seeing a new you. Just imagine yourself what a new and improved you would be like. What kind of smile would you like to have? What kind of look would you like to have? What kind of feelings would you like to have on a regular basis? How about compassion? How about your heart? How about forgiving? How would you really like to be? What kind of emotional state would you like to be in on a regular basis? Yeah, don't worry about, you know, how you feel you have to be. What would you like to be? If you could just be any kind of way you want to be, if you could think any kind of way to think, how would that be? Yeah, that's the new you. Okay. Yes, you tune into the Reconnected Show. This is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. The discussions here will be based on the chapters of my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. Reconnected is for those adults who want to create real internal change in their lives by addressing significant emotional events in their past which are affecting them presently. It is also for parents, yes, parents who want vital information in raising their genius young souls. You know, nowadays, grandparents, a lot of times they're raising the little ones, you know. Mentors who can appreciate additional tools for their students. And teachers who would cherish more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. Couples, wanting a better relationship. Yes, 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 we need to increase our healthy marriages out here. Wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered. And also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to their higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. You see, Reconnect is really a multi-purpose manual, 6 manuals in one. It is a parent's manual, absolutely, a teacher's manual, a drug recovery manual, very important. We spent a lot of time on the Reconnected show on that area. A mentor's manual, a relationship manual, yes. A manual for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories, loving yourself at deep levels, and creating the life you have always desired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, transforming those old experiences. You might have got knocked in your head when you were 12 years old by your cousin, and you've never forgiven him for that. Well, this book teaches you how to go back in time and change the events, change the feelings around those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And of course, all comes through the third-party mentor, which is you. It might be hard to understand that right now, the concept, the whole idea. The book teaches you how to go back and change those hateful feelings you had toward your cousin into loving feelings. Fantastic. Okay. Now, as you regulars know, we always do a happy news segment. And with that in mind, at the International and National News Desk, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
The title of today's article is At 85, Fitness Center Keeps Students Moving. And it's written by Courtney Perks and listed in the Orange County Register. Her name is DJ Janiga, and she always learns the names of many students who take her fitness classes, although she's likely to address them as young man or young woman. Young lady. Janiga, 85, teaches 5 classes a week at the Tustin Area Senior Center, where many of her students are her juniors. BJ, 85, teaches a workout class at the Senior Center to the music of Michael Jackson. Moderate exercise in midlife or later is associated with lower risk of cognitive impairment or dementia, according to research by the Mayo Clinic. Researchers speculated that walking, swimming, or yoga may guard against impairment by producing compounds to protect nerves, improving development of neurons, and decreasing the risk of heart and blood vessel diseases. Stanford University's Successful Aging Lab has found that older adults who regularly exercise have more energy, less stress, a more positive mood, and greater satisfaction with life. No one seems younger at heart than Janiga, who laughs and hugs and applies her pink lipstick before a workout. On a morning last week, Janiga played upbeat music across many genres as she led 61 mature adults, plus a woman's young granddaughter, in stretching, cardio, and weight conditioning. After a segment of resistance bands, Janiga, who lives in Tustin, said, "Oh, kids, enough resting, a little aerobic time." Janiga, who also leads a dance troupe, threw a few dance steps in addition to marching, squats, and swings of the arm. Janiga's movements were fluid and animated. Deidre Dalville, 75, of Tustin, scheduled her day around attending Janiga's class. I was kind of creaky and had a lot of hurt, Dalville said. "This just feels like I get a lube job every time I come. I think she's very, very inspirational and a tremendous example. She's a lot of fun." Janiga students work at their own pace. They wear fitness clothes. Some of them wear fitness clothes while others are dressed in slacks and dress shoes. The important thing, she says, is making gains. "I give them everything that is essential for physical well-being," Janiga says. "A person that doesn't exercise, they're not vigorous. This is what separates a senior from a mature adult. We do not use the word old in my classes. She finds fulfillment in knowing that her students are mentally and physically energized. As a student, Zuniga performs UFO dances for World War II troops, an experience that has stayed with her. Her voicemail greeting concludes with, "Thanks for calling. God bless America." The portable CD player she brings to class is covered with U.S. flag stickers. She's still touched by the memories of the wounded and the appreciation of visitors. Zuniga once spoke with a sailor on a gurney after she had performed a hula with an artificial gardenia poking from her hair. A few days later, to my house, a florist delivered a box filled with gardenias with a little note that said, "From the sailor that you talked to," Zuniga said. Zuniga also stays current. She plays artists like Usher and attends workshops on the latest fitness trends. "I teach hip-hop now," Zuniga said. "To me, that's a vacation when you can learn something new." Zuniga's dance troupe, The Raquettes, will perform at the Orange County Fair July 20th at 3:15 p.m. Zuniga's next round of classes at the Tustin Area Senior Center begins the week of August 20th and runs through mid-December. And it has registration costs here. And I won't read the whole thing because it's kind of lengthy. But I would encourage all of you who are listening to go to her website and see the pictures of her in action because she doesn't look 85. Well, it's easier to look her up on Google and just watch her in action. The title, just Google the articles. It says, "At 85, fitness teacher keeps students moving."
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to watch her on the computer.
Yeah, there's a nice video clip there. Yeah, she's moving all around, and she's a choreographer. Yeah, isn't that something? Mm-hmm.
And you can read the entire article because I didn't read 100% every bit of it because it's kind of lengthy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of her students says she's been taking lessons from her for 45 years. Yeah, isn't that something? 85 years old, so all those who say they're old out there and can't do anything, oh, they got to get in a rocking chair, oh, they can't make it to the bathroom, oh, they can't drive across country, oh, they can't do this, they can't do that, oh, all that kind of stuff. 85 years old, she's doing great, teaching fitness, putting a little makeup on, and she's doing wonderful. So she inspires everybody at all ages. 85 years old. BJ, right? Is that her name, BJ?
BJ.
Yeah, BJ. Yeah, wonderful inspiration. So there you go for happy news. Okay, all right. All right. Today's theme, yes, resolution and emotional life with Dr. E. Douglas Brown. Resolution and emotional life. On our last show with Dr. Brown on this topic, he was saying that emotional stability is important in developing healthy relationships. When the children do not see the loving resolutions after a conflict, the emotional instability starts and affects their relationships on all levels. These now teenagers become emotionally dependent on their parents and at the same time act in a rebellious manner, as is typical of teenagers wanting their own autonomy. Their emotional dependency is attached to other relationships as well. What their inner child is prompting them to do is to find resolution, and they attempt to find it in whatever relationships are close by. This is what causes them to become emotionally attached. Okay, so today we have returning friend of the show, endorser of Reconnected, author and psychologist, Dr. E. Douglas Brown, with us as he will continue his theme of resolution and emotional life. Now, part three. Dr. Brown talked about how conflict in the home without resolutions affects the child. Dr. Brown was saying that when a child does not witness resolutions in the home, the toxic effects of their negative emotions only increase, like fear, anxiety, and depression. When the child views these conflicts and they become a pattern of behavior in the home, that child is more likely going to develop some antisocial behaviors, carrying anger around with him, getting into fights, having behavior issues at school. They will feel worthless, and self-esteem will be very low. We left off on examining the young adult life of this affected child. Today, we're going to look at this young adult in their middle and late years and see how this unresolved issue affects his or her life. Okay, without any further ado, we'll bring Dr. Brown to you. Dr. Brown, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Yes, I do.
All right, great. I'm glad to be in on the signal. I'm glad the signal is clear.
Yes, yeah, because I had a question mark earlier, but I should always tell myself, have faith, it'll be okay.
That's right. Have faith and it will be okay. The law of the universe, not philosophy, but a reality. A reality in terms of how one thinks, what one believes, and what one sees. You see, if I see resolution, if I see a positive outcome, then I'm going to be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be what is called that phrase emboldened. Emboldened means that I'm going to have the courage and motivation to step forward. And I'm going to look for a solution or resolution to a problem and so that I can be reconnected.
Mm-hmm.
I can be rejoined and I can be regain my balance. And you said before about the later years.
Mm-hmm.
Before later years. Now, help me out here. We're talking about as this individual matures into adulthood, or are we not in relationship as one grows older?
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd like to think so.
Yes. Well, simply put, if you don't lay a very solid foundation for building a house, you will expect cracks. You will expect to see fundamental flaws in the walls, in the building itself, because the foundation was not properly laid. In that sense, you see, as I grow up, as an individual, as I grow up and I mature in my family and I see all of these encounters, these interactions and these communications, and I see people arguing, I see them disagreeing, I see them fighting, hopefully not to such an extent where someone becomes seriously hurt or violence, but these are part of life. Life is not, as they say, a bed of roses. So resolution is as important as the experience itself. It's one thing to experience disappointment, as we said. My parents aren't the kind of folks I thought they were going to be. My brother and my sister is mad at me. They're angry at me. I see them fighting. You see, the emotions associated with these experiences create a sense of what? A sense of confusion, sadness. And I want to find a way out of this confusion and this sadness, this conflict. And this is the road to resolution. What is the solution to this? Now, I want to fast forward somewhat here.
Mm-hmm.
As you said in the opening, as you repeated in the opening, if an individual repeatedly sees people engaged in conflict, arguments, distant from one another, and there is no resolution, there's
yes.
no reconciliation, this becomes a pattern. The individual eventually begins to see the world in this manner.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to develop mistrust, suspicion. Their doubts increase. They are more prone to doubt rather than they are to trust. Now, if you look at this person as they grow older, let's say that they navigate through high school, they're approaching young adulthood, and in young adulthood, we're talking about if not the beginning, we're talking about a greater focus on intimate relationships. This is found
yes.
throughout human culture, human nature. People began to look in terms of family life. They began to look in terms of a partner they would like to have in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Problem issue is, if there is no history of resolution, if there is no history of reconciliation, that individual typically approaches these adult relationships with more fears and suspicion than they have hope or any anticipation that this will be a very wholesome relationship. After the ceremonies are complete, in other words, when individuals, for example, are living with one another, they're learning more about each other as intimate partners and relationships are in a home environment that they are creating of their own. Now, what happens in this home environment, in this intimate environment?
Right.
That the individual who has not known resolution, when they begin to disagree and argue and have conflicts, this individual begin to do what? This individual begin to experience tremendous anxiety. This person will begin to experience anxiety, and I'd like to share with you and your audience some of the ways in which this anxiety may be expressed.
Mm-hmm. Please.
This anxiety may take the form of what is called flight, what is called the flight or fight response. That means I've got to get away from here. This isn't good for me. This isn't what I want. I've got to get out of this relationship. So rather than work with that partner or work with that individual because of the inability to see that these conflicts are inevitable and there is light in the end of the tunnel, this person is more prone to what? To sever the relationship. They are more prone to say, oh, this is not going to work out, and they will then go into an escape mode, meaning either physically they will try to remove themselves from the relationship, or if they cannot physically, say, leave the house or the home that they share, this person will shut down emotionally.
Mm.
Possibly the same kinds of behavior that the person did when they were very young, when they saw their parents arguing and disagreeing. Or they may have had disagreements with their siblings, their brothers and sisters.
Now, would you say that there'd be a lot of non-trust issues here also?
Of course. Of course. That's very basic. Mistrust. In fact, many noted social scientists, as you know, and psychologists have identified this as one of the most basic stages in emotional development. Trust and security and emotional security. Now, another way or another means in which the person will, so to speak, reflect this incapacity, this inability to arrive at resolution is through anger. Anger, you see. Anger is a form of protection. So the person may become very angry. They may become even ballistic somewhat or assaulted in nature. Okay? Now, unfortunately, for too many people, anger is a form of resolution. In other words, anger is a means by which they try to solve a situation when they experience this conflict. Now, mind what I'm about to say here, not because I'm important, but mind. the targeted is me and my unfulfilled expectations, my fears and my anxieties. And you are doing something in this relationship, but you are saying something that hurts me, that makes me feel bad. I don't know how to move toward you and I coming back together. How can we rebound? Okay? So I am targeted. You see, I have a history of feeling targeted and victimized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in many cases, the targeted turns to the other person, and the other person becomes the target.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm.
Follow what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't want to be targeted in this relationship. I don't want you to create all of this confusion and conflict, especially because I don't know how to move toward bonding with you. And I'm not going to allow you to continually target me like this. I am targeted. So what I'm going to do is target you. I'm
okay.
going to target you. That means practically I'm going to become highly angry. Maybe I will become, hopefully I will become aggressive. And this is what we have, you see, in many situations where we have what clinically or socially they now call domestic violence, right? Partner violence
mm-hmm.
in relationships. See, resolution, in the absence of that resolution, then I don't know how to cope. I don't understand and know how to cope with conflict. I don't realize that these differences and these negative feelings may be quite situational. They may be momentary. Now, as I advance in age and I advance in my relationships, if I do not find remedy, in other words, if I do not learn to reconcile, if I don't learn the meaning of resolution, you know, seeking a resolution in these kinds of situations that is both healthy for me and healthy for another person, well, in many cases, what I possibly my fate, not literally fate, but possibly I'm going to be a very lonely person. I'm going to be a very lonely and somewhat cynical person, and I will see a world where I cannot trust individuals. You know what? We all know what a mop is, right? Everybody
mm-hmm.
knows what a mop and a broom is, right?
Mm-hmm.
A mop and a broom presupposes that the floor is going to get dirty sometime.
Okay.
You know, the floors are not going to be pristine. So it's one thing to tell me and to teach me to always keep my floor in my house looking nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to also teach me what a mop and a broom is and a washcloth. See, so in those situations where the floor is dirty, you know, I've got to do cleaning. That's a resolution. I've got to learn how to use, so to speak, a mop and a broom emotion. I've got to know where to go emotionally. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Nazim?
Do we lose your connection?
Are you losing me?
Dorothy, can you hear him?
Can you hear me, Nazim?
Okay, looks like we've lost connection. Dorothy, can you hear? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now you're there. Okay, something happened just then. Okay.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, now you're on air. Yes, you're on air. Something happened. It was a little brief break for some reason or another. But
okay.
You're on now for sure. Okay, we lost about...
All right, I don't know where I left off. I don't know. I was talking about a mop and a broom, right?
Yeah, we heard that part.
Cleaning utensils, right?
Yeah, we heard about the mop and the broom.
We were talking about cleaning utensils. A mop
okay,
and
got
broom.
You.
And what I was saying is I was using it as an analogy to illustrate that, you know, throughout life, you've got to understand that the floors and things are going to get dirty sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You like being there, but they're going to need cleaning.
Yes.
And when they get dirty or what have you, the dust or whatever, you got to know what to do. And in effect, what that means is when I'm in relationships with other people and there are disagreements, there may be those brief periods where we are like shouting, so to speak, at one another, I don't want you, right? I've got to know how to pick up, emotionally speaking, I've got to know how to pick up a broom.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to know how to pick up a dustpan and a broom. in a month. Mm-hmm. See, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Is it coming? Is it a bad signal?
Oh, no, right now you're doing fine. It was a problem for about 10 seconds earlier, but right now you're doing fine.
Okay, let me know if it's coming across.
Okay.
But if I don't, now I'm sure you and the audience, many people in the audience can follow this analogy as I take it further.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do any cleanup, in other words, resolution,
mm-hmm.
reconnection, I can't just, in other words, that dust isn't going to go anywhere. See,
mm-hmm.
these are what I call them ruptured emotions, ruptured feelings, this mistrust, this
mm-hmm.
suspicion, the fear, the anxiety, the depression. It unfortunately will increase. It will amplify. And there's also a third, so to speak, and you mentioned this before, there's another third way this is expressed. And you mentioned it when you talked about antisocial behavior.
Mm-hmm.
When an individual takes the route of expressing aggression towards society at large.
Okay.
This individual may, in fact, and the antisocial personality is more prone to engage in violent behaviors. The antisocial personality has a very cynical attitude, is not outright disrespect for you know, notions of rules and what have you, the rules we play by. Because for me, some people who have antisocial personalities, they feel that I've tried to play by the rules. I tried to play by the rules like everybody else, and I was hurt. I've been hurt. Or I've been in situations where I feel that I have been taken advantage of or disappointed. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter to play by rules. All of these variations. Now, let me go. We'll start again. The first one I mentioned was flight. The first one I mentioned was the person who escapes relationships.
Okay.
They don't get involved, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The second one I mentioned is where you begin, where I feel that because of the mistrust and the lack of reconciliation, what I do rather than, say, run away or get away, I begin to target you, okay? I'm not just getting away, I'm getting back, see?
Right there, did you say that they feel they're getting bad because they feel they're being targeted themselves, or they will be targeted themselves?
Yeah, what they're doing, that's a very important point you're bringing out. Why? Because the person doesn't know that their own reactions, their lack of an ability to resolve, to go to resolution, makes them a target. Did you follow what I just said?
Okay.
You see?
Okay, makes me sorry. Okay, so they're actually projecting that out there, you're saying?
Yeah, they're projecting it, and because of their reaction, because of their responses, they, in effect, inadvertently set themselves up for disappointment.
Okay.
Because others that they are interacting with find it very difficult to what? To live with them, to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, of course, which you had mentioned before, we talked about an individual who, for example, would be an antisocial personality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a person who crosses the threshold, and they, in fact, begin to violate rules. You see, they begin to violate the integrity, the physical integrity of another person. Or they develop an overall attitude, a negative attitude towards society at large. So if we want to stop the emotional bleeding, if we want to suture the wound, if we want to stop this emotional bleeding, then this young person has to know what to do if they're injured or cut. In other words, to stop this emotional bleeding. And the way this leading is done is through emotional reconciliation. In other words, let's put this on rewind. We're going to go back, not fast forward, but rewind. I'm going to go back to when I was 10 years old, when I was 11, when I was 12. And I saw that first argument, that fight at the house or at home, I think, and it scared me. I was very scared. It frightened me and the whole routine. But what occurred is after I saw that disagreement, after I saw these disagreements, I saw people coming together. I saw them saying to one another in so many words, not necessarily literally, you know, we still love each other. We care for one another. You know, this is not the way we want to be. They go forward. After disagreeing, they go forward and they solve the issue.
Mm.
So there's healing. There's healing that takes place. And it strengthens their bond. I recall when I was growing up, you know, very young, I do recall seeing my parents. For example, my parents had a blowout, not physically, not literally, but they were, you know, the volume of their voices, the octave of their voices. I remember more or less when I heard this probably, you know, initially, it frightened me.
Sure.
It scared me, man. I'm like, whoa. You know, these
what's going on? Happens. Yeah, right.
Wow, this is deep, man. I like, whoa. See, there's this idealized image.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not seen them communicate and interact like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it, it frightened me. But what I also experienced is that even in the midst of it, they seemed to be able to come together. They realized that it was the moment. I saw them resolve the situation in terms of showing affection toward one another.
Ah, okay.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
I also experienced from both of them love. Love.
Mm.
As well as my brothers and sisters. This is not on a daily basis in terms of these types things, but the arguments, and like I'm saying, you know, arguments, disagreements. So I saw resolution as well, which is a quick means emotionally in life, such that when I find myself in arguments and disagreements or emotionally disappointed, I'm able, in most of the time, I'm able to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay.
Now, you probably yourself, Dorothy, and people you know, I'm sure. You know, many times, we all know people, for example, there are people who, you get in arguments with them or you disagree with them.
Yes.
Or for that matter, you, for example, you or someone like you, you know, where you may disagree with somebody. But
mm-hmm.
there's a tendency in you to want to solve it, to want to get back together with this person, say, hey, let's try to work this out.
Sure.
But you don't have a good feeling. You know,
right.
You're disagreeing in these type of, it's like an abrasion, you know, a scar.
Right.
You don't have a good feeling. So you want to go back to that person and kind of like send out signals to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to heal. You see, to say, let's get beyond that, right?
Right.
You see, that's resolution. That you learn how to do that. You saw someone in your life do that in terms of your own sense, your own energy, your own urges to do that. That's how you want it to be. But
mm-hmm.
I don't want this curse to ever happen to you or anyone else for that matter. But imagine what it is like for someone who has not had any example of anything, you see, to activate that urge to move towards someone I disagree with, to move in their direction rather than away from them or against them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put this in the frame of Dr. Karen Horney, late Karen Horney. She was a Neo-Freudian.
Okay.
He develops a very powerful, so to speak, theory of interpersonal relationships.
Okay.
And very simply and very briefly, she said that individuals, we move towards, away, and against people. We move towards, away, against, or with people. Towards,
mm-hmm.
away, against, or with people. Right?
Okay. I'm following you, sure.
So emotionally, emotional resolution knows which way to move, which way to go. If I'm with people, if I'm with someone that has my welfare in mind, we may disagree, right?
Mm-hmm.
I trust this person. There's no reason for me not to have a basic sense of trust, right?
Yes.
So despite these arguments and disagreements, I have a tendency to move with this person and towards this person. We may be diverted from one another, but I move with them and I move towards them.
Okay.
Now, in contrast, you see, different from that, let's say that I'm involved in a relationship that's toxic. It's not healthy.
All right.
Okay, it doesn't move in the direction of reconnection, right?
Right.
Now, I should move away from that person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean in an irresponsible way. I mean
right.
I should move away from them in terms of maintaining my own healing.
Right.
Rather than moving toward them. Now, would you not say that in that case, that is a form of healthy resolution?
Sure.
If I move away from individuals and relationships that are not good for me, right?
Well, yeah, on a certain level, yes.
Right. If it's not good for me, that's not my subjective opinion.
Exactly. Sure.
That's
okay.
A relationship,
yes.
That's
it's
a
not
relationship
good. Right.
That is unhealthy, that leads to emotional negative emotions.
Okay.
And it's something that I should move away from.
Okay. Got you. Sure.
You got me on that? Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay. Okay. Now, individuals who don't learn how to move, in other words, in relationships, they don't know, they don't learn what to move towards, who to move towards, who to move with, who to move away from, okay?
Okay.
They lack resolution. They lack closure. See, there's never any resolution. They don't know how to resolve relationships and feelings. I don't know if I'm coming across with a clear, what I'm trying to say is clear.
They lack those I would call resolution muscles.
Oh, okay. That's an excellent analogy. Okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You take it from, you know,
yeah,
knowing,
exactly.
Knowing how much you can lift at any given time.
Yes, exactly.
Knowing your threshold.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, and sometimes the frustration knowing that you would like to use those muscles, but they're undeveloped because not enough attention was given to those muscles.
That's an excellent analogy. I depend on you, Nazim, all the time. Bring it home.
I want to bring in something also, the idea of targeting. I wanted to touch on that for a second. You said that they project the feeling of being targeted themselves. Can you just touch on that a little more?
Yeah. Targeted means that I'm a victim. Targeted means that it's my fault.
Why is it their fault? Why do they feel it's their fault?
They feel that way because they sense that I'm always in situations that turn out bad. Or I'm in relationships with a person and they always end up not liking me. We end up disagreeing. So, you know, this is the way it is. See, targeted. Targeted means that when, you know, in other words, I'm the target. When I'm in the relationship, sooner or later somebody's going to discover, or this partner, this person I'm with, going to discover that the criticism, let's put it this way, criticism.
Okay.
See,
okay.
Or negative feedback, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So since they feel that way, then they feel, okay, before they get me, I'm going to get them.
I'm going to get them. That's what I mean. Exactly. That's when I'm not going to be your target anymore. I'm going to target you.
Okay.
Now, emotional resolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, it's obviously there's positive and negative resolution. Now, obviously, positive resolution means healing. It means reconciliation. It means reconnection
mm-hmm.
with self and with human beings. That's positive resolution. Then there's a dubious form of resolution, which is a fake form of resolution. It's not true resolution.
Mm.
And that's the kind that gets me in trouble. See, that kind of resolution means what? That means rather than deal with the situation, it means rather than, you know, try to come to some closure and healing and rebonding with this person, you know, I fractured a relationship. That's okay. Forget about it. Splintered it. I splintered a relationship.
Mm. So wait, are you saying that they help me? I'm a little unclear on that one. About it not being a fake resolution again.
Fake resolution. Let's say that I'm in a relationship with someone. They do or say something to me that makes me mad, causes me to feel sad, right? Hurts my
feelings. Okay.
Right? Let's say that I become angry. I can become angry, but at the same time, I can be angry about what this person said. But I may also feel an urge or desire to move towards this person. In other words, come to some understanding as to why this person did or said this. Or maybe I misinterpreted, correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's positive resolution.
Okay.
I move towards a person. But if I simply become angry and verbally assault it, okay, I'm angry and I'm upset and I'm tired, I'm this and I'm that. Now, that's I may think it's resolution. That may be my way of solving the situation and dealing with the problem, but it's certainly not a form of healing.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Okay,
that's
I see.
What I
yeah.
mean by fake resolution.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I see it now.
Okay, let me give you. This is a much more vague analogy. It's an attempt to try to go back to the broom and the dustpan and the mop, right?
Okay.
Okay. Let's say that the floor is dirty. All right. If I just sweep the dirt under the rug or the couch, that's not true resolution, is it?
No, it's not.
I've got to get it up.
Right.
And that's what's comparable to just becoming angry. And, you know, angry and assertive and moving. All I'm doing is sweeping stuff under the couch, under the chair. Whereas if I really get that dustpan or whatever, that's true resolution. See?
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you what, let's move into the other, it's kind of progressing in age a little bit. Just what we can
okay.
start this, I'm gonna actually do more of this next time, but just to start the process, the person is getting into their 50s, all right? They've been on Earth 5 decades now, and they have a very dysfunctional relationship, and maybe the divorce, or maybe the person is still hanging in some kind of way with them. But now, of course, they're 50, you know, in their 50s, and their mind is definitely changing, as all minds do. But now they have, on top of this, the chronological issue, they have now this unresolved issue from childhood that's on them at 50. What starts to happen in that person's mind?
Well, typically when we talk about middle age, we're talking about an age where we approach the arc. We begin to turn on an arc. And we begin to reflect back into our past. We begin to see these snapshots in terms of when we were growing up and we see our guardians. Well, usually in the absence of emotional resolution, in the absence of these healthy emotional ties, it simply increases a person's sense of depression.
Oh.
It increases if the person becomes very depressed. very cynical, very cynical. Have you ever met a middle-aged person who tends to be very cynical, very suspect of relationships?
Yeah.
And,
oh, yes.
You know, this is what happens. This is typically what happens. The person has a very difficult time reaching out. Now, what do I mean by reaching out? I'm simply saying that when opportunities present themselves for this person to kind of lighten up, if you will, kind of lighten up, you know, why can't you be a little more positive? I mean, can you give me half a chance, you know, maybe with grandkids or something like that? This type of individual is very, I use the phrase, this is very common. This person is very black and white. They're either or. It's either my way or no way. They're very rigid. What pleases them, what makes them feel good, what makes a person feel good is that you do what they say. You do exactly what they say. That makes them proud and makes them feel good.
And the idea of being rigid, where does that come from exactly? Being kind of stubborn and where does that come from?
Control. You see, rigid means that I'm not going to allow you to dictate what it should be. I'm going to give you the parameters for what I think is correct. Rigid means that I'm not going to go beyond what I feel is the correct way to go or how to react to this situation. I'm not open to other alternatives. I'm not open to what other people feel and how they look at a situation, how they perceive the situation.
Okay.
The person becomes, I'm sure I can use this word, and the person becomes emotionally callous. You know how you get calluses on your feet and bunions and stuff? The person becomes emotionally callous. Okay? They don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. This is how I feel. This is what it is. This is bottom line. I don't want to hear anything else.
So it really originates from them feeling they had no control when they were younger. And
well,
so,
vulnerable.
Okay.
Right. No control. You see, another thing I think is important in what we're doing now, we want to clarify what we mean by no control. See, the person feels vulnerable. They feel unsafe. See, it's not so much control as it is, am I in an environment where I feel safe and I don't feel that I'm easy prey, so to speak, to anything that's negative? Will it come my way?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that now because they were vulnerable and they didn't have the control even over themselves.
Right.
And so now when they get older, they say, look, okay, I didn't have it then, I'm going to have it now. I don't care what you say, this is how I am, that's it.
This is how I am, and you either take me as I am or you leave me. This is it. Let me use another crude analogy. Now, here we are in Phoenix, all the audience, we all love the weather out here in the Southwest. It's gorgeous. It's hot, but it's gorgeous. Beautiful sunny days, it's blue sky, we wake up in the morning, it's just beautiful, right?
Okay,
now,
sure.
Given the frequency of these beautiful days, how much sunlight, the ratio of the sun, wouldn't you wonder if you saw a person every day going around with an umbrella? And this kind of weather carrying an umbrella.
Right.
Okay. That's an individual that's emotionally callous. See? No matter how it looks, how great it looks, they're always going around. They've got a cynical scenario. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but. Okay. Okay. That's the way it looks now. Okay, yeah, okay. Well, I'm not, in other words, you're not going to, I don't want to see it. You're not going to come over with me with all this pretense. Oh, I know better. See, I know better. See?
All right. I'm sorry, Dr. Rock. You know, I must put a pause right there. I want to make this the focal point of our next discussion, talking about the effects in our later years and really pre, I won't say Alzheimer's, but just you know, we can talk about how
Alzheimer's.
You know what? I like that. I'm gonna use that. Okay, here we go.
Yeah,
I'm writing it down now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right now, emotional Alzheimer's. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're gonna talk about that next time for sure.
Okay. Definitely.
Okay. All right, so I want to invite everybody to come out next time. We're going to have them come back. We'll have it on the schedule probably by another 4 weeks from now. We can get that back on. But for sure, we're going to continue this idea of looking at how we fare in life, how we actually organize our life, how we actually live our lives when we have a big, huge void of non-resolution.
Non-resolution. Now,
you
it's
see?
A wound. I know you're going to cry. It's a wound. It's a wound that never fully heals. It's a wound that, in fact, grows. You know, we need wound care. When you're wounded, you need wound care.
A wound care.
And when wound care is emotional resolution.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm wounded emotionally, I'm disappointed, I'm frightened, I'm dismayed. And I need wound care. Wound care is that I need to know what to do to heal those wounds or where to go next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. A wound chair.
Wound care. C-A-R-E.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Care. I'm sorry. Care.
Yeah, wound care.
Oh, I'm writing up getting something else down. Okay, all right. I'm looking at some other metaphor here. Okay, all right. So, all right, wound care. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay, for sure. All right, well, we're going to talk about that because a lot of us have grandparents and parents who are approaching the age where things are not working out well emotionally, and they don't know why, and a lot of us don't know why, but a lot of it can be solved by looking at this right here, you know? So we're going to talk about that, and then that will give us a better understanding of what's really going on with our loved ones, you know, and we can hopefully help them out, but at least we can help ourselves out with understanding. And that's the most important thing.
That's
important
thing. Thank you so much, Nazim.
All right, well, thank you, Dr.
Brown. I'm glad you had faith in me, right? I'm glad you didn't give up on me.
Oh, we had faith in you for sure, you know, and sometimes I hold on to a mustard seed.
All right, that's right. I hear you. Thanks so much.
You know, it's okay. Thank you for coming out, and we're going to have you back on. So everybody come out next week. We have more of the Reconnected Show. Remember, Barnes & Noble has reconnected on Facebook and also found London.